You guys doing well? Excited about what's to come in 2019? Anybody clap if you have maintained a New Year's resolution up until this point. Give yourself a clap if you got one. That's amazing. Good job. Hey, we're going to pass out Bibles. And so if you need a Bible, why don't you raise your hand? If you have a Bible, you can turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to dive into a new series for this new year. And actually what I want to do, because this is a new year and a new series, but before anything else, what I want to do is take kind of a step back and examine something that we looked at to begin or end the year in 2018. I want to pick up where we left off in 2018. In 2018, December 13th, the last harbor of the year, we spoke about a message called More Than Marvel. And the idea of that message was that Mary, the mother of Jesus, did something incredibly unique and special. Because when the message of Jesus, when the birth of Jesus happened, there were two responses. Everyone marveled. Everyone was amazed at what happened. But Mary took it a step further, and rather than just marvel, she treasured everything that God had done. She pondered it in her heart, and she let it actually transform and change her. And so what we discovered last year is that it is possible to experience the things of God, to marvel at them, to say, wow, that's incredible, but then to move on with our lives, to say, what's next, and to kind of forget about what God actually did. And I don't know if you have noticed this, and this is what we talked about last year, but we live in a distraction-filled culture. And if we are honest with each other, we, like, love distractions. Like, it is so fun to get excited about the next thing. We love the greatest dank meme that comes at us. It is awesome. It is hilarious. And then day two rolls around and we're over it, we're tired, and we want the next dank meme that comes at us. This is our culture. This is what's going on with us. And so the truth is, if we look at the scripture, and if we look at the example of Mary, we have to do more than just marvel. We actually have to pause and let the words of God that are spoken to us sit in our hearts and transform us. And really what I think the heart that God wants for all of us is that we would not have a sparkler faith, but we would have a campfire faith. We talked about that at the end of last year. Not a sparkler faith, but a campfire faith. What I mean by that is some of us at New Year's lit some sparklers. And sparklers are awesome. They're flashy. They're not hard to get ignited. They're fun. We like waving them around and signing our names and writing 2019 with them. But really, at the end of the day, they don't do anything. And yet, a campfire is hard work. If you are responsible at the bonfire for building the campfire, your life is stressful. People are like, do you guys want a s'more? Hey, do you want like a hot dog? You're like, don't talk to me right now. I'm trying to build a campfire, and I can't get it ignited. The lighter fluid's not working. The match is not working. Like, when you're actually trying to build the campfire, it takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of focus. But it takes a lot of hard work. But once that thing is ablaze, it provides light and it provides warmth for everyone around. And I think the type of faith that God wants for us is a campfire faith. A faith where we treasure the things that come into our lives, the things that God brings into our lives. And we focus on them, we ponder them, we let them sink deep down into our souls. And then when they transform us, we can be a light and a warmth and an encouragement to every single person around us. So when we enter into this new year, what I believe the vision that God has given our community of the Harbor for the new year is the vision of Fan the Flame. Fan the Flame, that's going to be the three-week series that we look into to start the year. And that's the vision that I believe God has given for the Harbor, that we would be campfires, producing warmth, us receiving what God has for us, pondering or reflecting on it, and then producing light and warmth for the world. This idea of fan the flame is not my idea. I did not come up with it. In fact, it was written by one of the heroes of the faith, the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it only a few years after Jesus Christ himself walked on this earth. This letter of 2 Timothy, where we're going to find this verse, was written by the Apostle Paul to his protege Timothy. And at the time, the Apostle Paul was writing from a prison in Rome. It was actually the last letter that he would ever write. It was in a dark prison cell. I actually have a picture, and just to brag a little bit, I personally took this picture. That's pretty awesome. Katie and I got a chance to go to this prison in Rome over the summer, and it is pretty amazing to stand in a place where literally scripture was written. Like, well, the thing that you have in your lap or on your device right now was written right here. Not that literal translation, just to let you know, but the parchment that was translated. And so Paul, he writes to his protege Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and he says this. He says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." So the first thing Paul says is that, Timothy, you got to celebrate something, that you actually have a generational faith. Some of us in here, we are descendants from a generational faith. We have a grandmother who prayed for us. We have a grandfather who set the example for us. We have parents who raised us in the Word. And we can take a moment right now, and if that's our story, we can celebrate. The fact that they actually set the example and went before us, and we can look at them and say, that's the kind of Christian, that's the kind of follower of Jesus I want to be. Now, if that's not your story, that's okay, because God is a God of new beginnings. God loves starting fresh and new things. And so don't feel like you're on the outside if you're like, I'm the only one in my family who believes, because God could start a generational faith with you. God could have you be the person that in 10, 15, 20 years, your family is looking at you and they're like, they're the reason that we are all believing in Jesus right now because of their example. Do you believe that? That if you're the only one, because of your example, because of what God is doing in your life, you could be the one that starts the spark and that builds into a generational faith. But Paul says, look, you've had this genuine faith. Lois had it. Eunice had it. And I know that now the faith continues with you. But look at what he says in verse 6. He says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames." There we go. Fan the flame. Fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands upon you. Now, just to get it out in the open, that sounds a little creepy just a second. When I lay my hands on you, if you're like, whoa, what's that? That's kind of weird. This idea of laying our hands on, this is something that happened even back in the time of the apostles, where when people prayed for each other, they would either put their hand on their heads or on their shoulders, and they would pray. And at this very moment, as someone prayed, as Paul prayed for Timothy, Timothy received a spiritual gift to be a pastor, a spiritual gift to be a teacher. And now what Paul is saying is, look, this moment happened where you received a call from God to do something for his kingdom. But that little spark is there, and now I'm encouraging you to fan that spark into a flame. And really the big idea that we're going to look at tonight, and I want us to wrap our minds around tonight, is this, that God sends the spark. But then God journeys with us to fan that spark into a flame. I'm going to say that again. God sends the spark, but then God journeys with us to fan that spark into a flame. And so what I want us to realize here about our faith is that our faith is kind of this paradox. Because ultimately, if you believe, if you've encountered God, you have done that because God has done something powerful in your life. You didn't earn your salvation. You didn't do something special and then God zapped you with some faith. Like, God generously provided for you so that you believe. God sent the spark of faith into your life. If you have a spiritual gift, if you have a calling, it's there because God gave it to you. But at the same time, each and every single one of us is invited on this journey to move from a spark into a flame, where God is actually watching us grow and develop. So on the one hand, God isn't just handing us the ball and asking us to run forward without his help. But on the other hand, we got to realize that we're not just sitting on the sideline, but God is actually inviting us on the journey. And we see this idea of God sending a spark and then that spark developing into a flame throughout the Bible. If you look at the example of Abraham, Abraham got a spark when God gave him a promise that he would make him a great nation. But it took a journey with God where God walked with him and God gave him, built trust into his life, built belief into his life. God taught him to actually rely on him instead of relying on Abraham's own opinions and ideas, and that journey took a lifetime. Even the Apostle Paul himself, Paul got a spark when God saved him on the road to Damascus. But Paul didn't just start writing scripture right off the bat. Paul literally spent 3 years in the wilderness by himself, where Jesus Christ himself was his teacher. Like, that's mind-blowing. Like, he's just hanging out with Jesus, and Jesus is rewiring everything he believes so that he could write, like, half of the New Testament. And so even, like, if you look at my own journey, I remember when I was in Dayton, Tennessee, 8 years ago. Dayton, Tennessee, if you've never heard of it, is a tiny, tiny town. Yeah. And I was in Dayton, Tennessee, and I listened to this message on a podcast by a pastor named Matt Chandler. And simultaneously, at the same time, I understood for the first time what it truly was to believe in God. And I wanted to, like, be a pastor and start preaching to other people. So that was the spark. I was like, that's what I want to do. And yet, I was messed up. I had to do a lot of changes in my life. God had to change me and develop me in a lot of different ways. And he's still working on me to actually bring me along the journey. And so what we as a community have to realize is that we need to participate with God and be patient and be diligent and focus as God walks with us to develop whatever is in our lives. And my deepest fear for us as a community is that God would call us to something and we would believe it and we would get excited about it. But then, as things progressed, we would get bored by it. We would get distracted by other things. We would start to feel like, man, what God called us to do is kind of hard. And so we would move past what he called us to do. We wouldn't fan the flame. And we would never have the focus and the patience and the perseverance to watch what God developed in our lives. I believe the greatest danger for us as a generation, for Christians who are in our generation, is that they would experience in their hearts a passion for God and a desire to grow close to God. But we wouldn't have the patience and the diligence to actually see it through. Because there's always something else cool on Netflix, so we never really get the time to dive in. There's always a cool sermon to listen to that I like listening to, but I'm never actually changing my life because I could listen to another one. There's always something else that I can move on and look forward to instead of patiently letting God actually develop the things that are in our lives. And I'm not against Netflix. I love Netflix. I'm not against sermons. Clearly, I'm not against sermons. But what I am saying is that we need to fan the flame of what God is actually doing. We need to focus and be locked in when God starts doing something in our lives. the truth is, so many of us, I think, like, we want the campfire already. Like, I think a lot of us in here would say, like, I want the dream marriage. Like, I want to see God bring me an amazing spouse, and I want us to have the kind of, like, hot, awesome, loving, amazing marriage where everyone looks at us and they're like, that's what I want. Like, I'm so jealous of that. So we want the campfire. But so often we don't want to diligently study so that we can build a life, earn an income, so that we can bring a family into it, or die to ourselves so that we can learn how to be selfless, so that we can actually create the environment for a dream marriage to happen. So many of us, I think we want like an amazing calling or an amazing career where everyone looks at us and they're like, that guy has his dream job. He's such an incredible leader. He's such an amazing person walking in whatever God wants for him. But we're not willing to be patient and fail again and keep growing and keep on every day trying to develop something and letting God teach us day by day so that one day we can actually have that thing that's in our hearts. It's easy to want the campfire, but it takes work with God walking day by day to actually develop that spark into what God has for us. So the question is, how do we do it? Like, how do we actually fan the flame that God has? Well, I have three things that I think we can do and focus on as we step into the new year. And I just want to say right off the bat, these aren't mad original. These aren't like crazy, awesome things that you've never heard before. Most likely, these are things that you're going to be like, good job, Brian. Like, did you study at all? Or did you just like pull out some stuff that you've said before? But just because it's not original doesn't mean it's not important. And so often the most important things are the things that we need to hear over and over again and be reminded that these are the things that bring the flame to life. So the first thing that we need to do is this. We need to fan the flame of our walk with God. We need to fan the flame of our walk with God. This is the most important thing that I can say. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 8, or chapter 1, verse 8. I think it's so fascinating. Paul's still writing to Timothy just after he said, fan the flame. He says this, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either. Even though I'm a prisoner for him, with the strength that God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. So Paul's saying it might be hard when you actually get involved with the good news. What's the good news? He's about to answer that question. Here's what the good news is. Verse 9. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And then Paul takes it back to him, and he says this, and God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of this very good news. That's why I'm suffering here in prison. But I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Now, here's what I find fascinating about what Paul just wrote. Paul just started talking about Timothy and the gift that Timothy had. But Paul doesn't keep talking about Timothy's gift. Like, Timothy, your gift is so awesome. If you keep on just pursuing your gift, it's going to lead to revival. It's going to be amazing. People are going to look at you and think how godly you are. He doesn't do that. He doesn't talk about how awesome Timothy's gift is. He talks about how awesome God is. And then Paul starts talking about his suffering. But he doesn't talk about suffering the way that I talk about suffering. I want everyone to know how horrible my suffering is. Oh, let me tell you how much I'm suffering for the Lord. It's tough. Life is hard. I'm really going through it. He doesn't even do that. Because he's not talking about his suffering. He is talking about how awesome God is. And what I love about this is that ultimately, I think Paul is saying it's not even that much about the gifts. The gifts are awesome. It's great that you have a gift. It's not that much about the suffering. What is the greatest thing possible that I could talk about right now is God. And what God actually did since the beginning of time to bring forth this good news for everybody. And what he says is this. He says that since the beginning of time, God created this plan to show every single human being how much he loved them, his goodness and his kindness. He didn't do it because we all deserved it. He did it because he wanted to do it. And he did it because he is good and kind and loving. And Jesus Christ, he comes to this earth literally to bring forth that plan. And that plan is Jesus is going to die. And in dying, he is going to take away the two things that are separating you and me from God. The two things are, number one, our sin is separating you and me from God. And so when Jesus dies, he pays for that sin. And the second thing is death is separating us from eternal life with God. And when Jesus rises from the dead, he conquers death, meaning that now you and me have the opportunity to do what we were truly created to do, which is walk with God without the barrier of sin forever and ever and ever. And that, my friends, is literally the greatest invitation of all time. Amen. That you and me actually get to walk with God. And everything else that we bring into the new year, every one of our hopes, every one of our dreams, every one of our aspirations is amazing, and I believe God cares about them, but none of them are come anywhere close to that invitation right there that we get to walk with God. And the truth is, you know, for me, like, in this new year, I came into this new year, and I had a lot of questions, right? I had a lot of things that I wanted answered. And I remember walking and praying and asking God, God, I want clarity. I want answers to these questions. I want you to give me my wisdom so that I can walk out and know exactly what you want me to do. That sounds like a great prayer, right? Like that, you guys are thinking, wow, amen. Brian is super holy. That's incredible. And you should think that. I'm very holy. But that being said, I felt like as I was praying that God didn't want more than anything else to give me clarity. But that what God wanted more than anything else was for me to walk with him. And I felt like more than God giving me all the answers to every single question that I had and giving me the perfect roadmap to thrive and succeed in 2019 was that God just wanted me to experience his love. And I wonder sometimes if when we go to God feeling like our life is so out of order and that for us to get with God, everything has to be perfect. And the truth of the matter is, I wonder if God is saying, why don't you try to be a little bit more out of control? Why don't you be okay with the lack of clarity, okay with the lack of answers, and understand that the true greatest thing that you could possibly ever have is the fact that you get to walk with me. Amen. And none of us need any more answers for that. None of us need any more clarification for that, because that is an invitation that we can all step into right now. And so the truth of the matter is, what I believe is that to start 2019. We need to fan the flame of our relationship with God. How do we do that? On a super practical level, every one of us needs consistent and unhurried time with God. Every one of us needs consistent and unhurried time with God. To do this, it's going to require sacrifice. There's going to be something, if you are not currently walking in consistent and unhurried time with God, that you're going to have to give up. It might be you have to give up staying up late so you can wake up early so you can have consistent and unhurried time with God. It might mean you have to set some limits on your social media or check out of Netflix one show or one episode earlier. It might mean you have to just sit in your car for a few minutes before work and just sit in silence, listen to a worship song, read a scripture. But if you really want to walk in what God has for you in 2019, the best way to start is consistent and unhurried time with the Father. Reading scripture, praying, journaling what God is showing you, and doing that over and over again. It's going to take sacrifice. It's not going to feel fun sometimes. But I promise you, if you create space for it, God will step into that space. And over time, you will see the flame of your relationship with God begin to flourish. So the first thing we need to do is fan the flame of our relationship with God. The second thing, it's up on the screen already, but we need to fan the flame of our Jesus-loving community. I love that as Paul talks with Timothy, he reminds him that he is not isolated in his relationship with God, that he has a mother and a grandmother who are with him. He has a mentor in Paul. If you continue to read 2 Timothy, you continue to see that over and over again. He has people in his life that are with him, that are encouraging him. And for us who are followers of Jesus, I truly believe this, that God never calls a follower of Jesus to walk alone. And I don't think there is such a thing as a healthy Christian who is flying solo. And so the truth of the matter is that we need to look around our lives and we need to see, do I have a pastor in my life who is speaking into my life? Do I have Christian brothers and sisters who are encouraging me and walking with me? Or is my community leading me away from God instead of towards God? And if that's not the case, that's a major shift that needs to happen in your life in 2019. Because there's no way you're walking towards God if no one else is walking with you. I truly believe that. We're going to do a whole talk on Christian community next week in week two of our series. But I just want to say this, that in 2019, the harbor is fanning the flame on the community that we have here. And we're trying to create even better ways for you to get connected in 2019. So the first thing is we fan the flame of our walk with God. The second thing is we fan the flame of our Jesus-loving community. And last but not least is this, that we fan the flame of what God has placed in our hands. We fan the flame of what God has placed in our hands. Paul says to Timothy, you have a gift. In other words, you don't need to look outside of what's already happening in your life to see the things that God is going to do in your life. God has already placed some things in your hands that he wants you to work with him to bring to life. I was listening to a couple of friends talk about stocks, and I was thinking about stocks, and I realized that when you see a stock that has potential, the best possible thing for you to do is to invest in that and to watch it grow. And in the exact same way, you and I, we need to look at what God is already doing in our lives. And if God is doing something, we need to invest in that thing. So often I think to myself, and I'm just going to be real, I think to myself, God, like, when are you going to start really moving in my life? Like, when are you going to start doing something, like, really cool, you know? Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, like, this is awesome, but, like, I'm looking for something dope, you know? And I think truly a lot of times what God wants me to remember is I'm actually already doing a lot of things in your life. You're just kind of ignoring them because you want something better. And truly, I believe for us as a community and for you as a person, God is doing some awesome things in your life. If you paused for a few seconds, if you took out a piece of paper during some time with God and you said, God, show me what you're doing right now, he would show you some stuff. And my encouragement is fan the flame of that. Keep investing in those things. Like, actually take the time to say, I want to push all my chips in to what God is doing. If God has given you a gift, like, fan the flame, invest in that gift in 2019. If God has put relationships in your life that are helping you grow, I'm not talking about boyfriend and girlfriend, I'm talking like godly relationships, brothers and sisters in Christ who are helping you to grow, like, fan the flame of those relationships. Invest in those relationships in 2019. If God has given you a passion in your heart to do something, a step of faith that you want to take, that's from God. Invest in that in 2019. I think it is so easy for me to be negative. It's so easy for me to get into a mopey vibe where I start looking around at all the things that in my mind I thought were going to be better. Mm-hmm. I pictured in my mind that things were going to be different in this certain relationship, or I pictured things were going to be different in this certain circumstance. Mm-hmm. And when I get down that path, what's happening is I'm actually forgetting that God is working, and I'm ending up in a negative place of assuming that God has forgotten about me. But what I believe God wants us to do is to assume that he is working. Because I just want to let you know, like, I can confidently promise you that God is actually literally working in every single person in this room. Like, even if you are far from God, even if you don't have a relationship with God, God is working because he brought you to this place right now. And so the invitation for every single one of us is to realize that he is actually working. Amen. And to invest in that. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back up to the stage, and they're going to close out our time together. But as they come back up to the stage, what I want to do is this. I want to take a moment and recognize the fact that God is actually working, and I want to encourage you to fan the flame of whatever God is doing in your life. So I want to invite you for just a second to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And I just want to pray for you. Because I think that there maybe are some people in here that need a fresh and a new start in 2019. Maybe that right now you are carrying some baggage in here with you, and you're saying, man, like, I have a lot of regrets. I have a lot of things that I wish I had done differently in 2018. And the beautiful thing that I have come to tell you is that right now you can step into this moment and you can say, God, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to do things differently in 2019. I want to truly cherish our relationship in 2019. And God is faithful. He's just. He's good. Jesus has already paid for those sins, and he invites you back into relationship with him. So I just want to pray for every single person right now. And God, if in this moment, if there are people who are far from you and they're coming back in 2019, they know that they were not following your plan, but they want to step into new relationship, new beginnings. God, I know that you have given new hope. And so we praise you for that, God. If that's you and you're like, look, Brian, I stepped away, I walked away, but right now, in front of God, I just want to raise my hand and say, God, I want to step into new beginnings in 2019. I receive the fact that you are doing something new in my life in 2019. Would you just raise your hand up in the air? It's not for me. and it's for God, just to say, God, right now, I believe you're doing new things. I believe you're stepping into new beginnings. It's amazing. It's amazing. The next thing I want to say is I want to take a moment. And I just want to pray for anyone who believes, you know what, God has placed something in my hands in 2019. It may be stepping into a new opportunity of ministry. It may be a passion and a calling that I know God has put on my heart, that God has created me to do. It may be just taking a small step of faith, but God, I want to fan the flame of that in my life right now. If that's you and you would say, man, I want to step into boldly into what God is doing in my life in 2019, would you just raise your hand? I'm raising my hand. I want to do that. God has given me a heartbeat to do some things in 2019, and I want to step into them with boldness. I want to fan the flame. I want to be patient. I want to be focused, but I want to walk with God. God, I pray for everyone whose hands are raised. I believe that you have put passions into people's lives. I believe you have put spiritual gifts into people's lives. I believe that you have given people the ability to come alongside other people, to love them, to encourage them, to help them. And I believe that right now in this moment, you are gearing us up to be poured out for you. And so God, we thank you so much for that. We praise you. We ask you to help us to be faithful. God, we know that if we are faithful and obedient, you will be faithful to us, and you will help us to step into everything that you ask us to step into. The last thing I want to do is this. I want to open it up to anyone who would say, Brian, right now, the thing that I want the most in life is just to walk with God in 2019. I want to move deeper. I want to step closer. I truly just desire for 2019 to be a year where I actually walk with God, where I experience his presence, where I wrestle with him through doubts, where I walk with him in obedience, and where I praise him, where I weep, where I struggle, but where I walk with him. It's not going to be easy all the time. It's not going to be just grand and amazing all the time, but I want to be faithful to walk with God because I know he will be faithful to me. If that's you and you just say, Brian, I want to walk closer to God in 2019. That's me. I have my hand raised. If you want to join me, raise your hand. If you just want to walk closer to God in 2019. God, you see our hands in the air. God, we truly do want to walk closer to you. We thank you that you have said that if we draw near to you, that you will draw near to us. And we truly believe that the only reason that we would ever draw near to you is because you've already taken the first step towards us. We believe that you want us to walk with you way more than we even want to walk with you. And so God, I pray for every single person in here. I pray that you would help us to make a commitment to have unhurried and consistent time with you. But I also pray that I know that I'm going to fail, I'm going to mess up, I'm going to forget, or I'm going to get busy. And so I pray that even more than a commitment to never miss a day, that we would make a commitment to keep getting back up, to keep stepping into your grace, to keep stepping into your mercies anew every morning. Because we know that you are always welcoming us back. We thank you, God. We praise you. Last but not least, I just want to say this. I know that there are some people in here right now that you would say, Brian, I'm not even a Christian right now. I don't even know what it means to walk with God and to follow God. And we're going to sing one final song. But I want to say that at the end of this service, Hannah's going to get back up here and she's going to give you a little bit more information on how you can talk with someone about taking a further step in learning what it means to follow God. God, thank you for tonight. We want to keep on moving and stepping in step with you. If you'd stand right now, the band's going to lead us in a song to close out the night. We're going to sing and ask God to help us as we move closer and draw near to him.
believe that because maybe we don't feel it, or maybe life isn't going how we want it to. But I really want to declare that truth, that God loves everybody in here. And that is true, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how your life is going, regardless of what it looks like around you. God's love for you is real, and it is true. And you can have a relationship with him. And like Brian said, if you don't know the Lord, or maybe you're resisting him, or maybe you're just like not sure, it is your choice, but like God does love you, and he does desire a relationship with you. And if you want to know more about that, you can go over to the Connect Bar after service, and there will be people who will be more than happy to talk to you, listen to you, pray with you, and encourage you in that. So let's go ahead and pray. And before we do that, though, just two quick reminders from our announcements earlier. We have prayer culture next week, so definitely try to make it out to that, just to continue, like Brian talked about tonight, to fan into flame our relationship with the Lord. Great way to do that is coming to prayer culture, getting up early, making that sacrifice, making that commitment, getting into God's presence. And second, we have Night to Shine. So if you want to volunteer for that, you can head over there. I see Tara raising her hand. She can help you sign up for that. So let's go ahead and pray and give the rest of this night to the Lord. Oh God, we just love you so much. Thank you for loving us, Lord. God, it's impossible for us to love you without the love that you have for us. So we thank you so much for that, God. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. God, for what you spoke to us tonight. God, I do pray that we would continue to fan into flame. God, the call to walk with you, the call to walk with your people, and the call to use the gifts that you have given us to serve others, God, and to make you known to the community and to the world. God, I just pray that you would come, you'd continue to draw us closer to you. God, as we go about our lives this year, last year. God, that we would lean more on you. God, that we would turn more to you, more to your word and your spirit than we do to ourselves and our own limited wisdom, God. Lord, we need you. We need you to lead us and guide us. Lord, just as you led the Israelites through the wilderness, God, you were that light and that fire in the night and the day. You were that cloud. God, just like that, we have your Holy Spirit to guide us now. Lord, so speak to us and guide us and show us your will for each and every one of us. We love you so much. We just commit the rest of this night to you. And just want to be focused and steadfast, God, for the plans that you have for us. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night.